Today is the 25th day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. As we gather around the global campfire and take the next step forward together in the scriptures, we're getting ourselves adjusted to this new book that we are in, the book of Deuteronomy, which are the discourses of Moses before he retreats or recedes into history and Joshua leads the people forward. So we will obviously pick up that journey where we left off yesterday, which leads us to Deuteronomy chapter 4 today. Israel, listen to the laws and rules I am about to teach you. Obey them so that you will live and be able to enter and take possession of the land that the Lord God of your ancestors is giving you. Never add anything to what I command you, or take anything away from it. Then you will be able to obey the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. With your own eyes you saw what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed everyone among you who worshiped the god Baal while you were at Peor. But you were loyal to the Lord your God and are still alive today. I have taught you laws and rules as the Lord my God commanded me. You must obey them when you've entered the land and taken possession of it. Faithfully obey these laws. This will show the people of the world your wisdom and insight. When they hear about all these laws, they will say, "What wise and insightful people there are in this great nation. What great nation ever had their gods as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to him? Or what other great nation has such fair laws and rules as all these teachings I am giving you today? However, be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you don't forget the things which you have seen with your own eyes. Don't let them fade from your memory as long as you live. Teach them to your children and grandchildren. Never forget the day you stood in front of the Lord your God at Mount Horeb. The Lord had said to me, 'Assemble the people in front of me, and I will let them hear my words. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live on earth, and they will teach their children the same thing.' So you came and stood at the foot of the mountain, which was on fire with flames shooting into the sky. It was dark, cloudy, and gloomy. The Lord spoke to you from the fire. You heard a voice speaking but saw no one. There was only a voice. The Lord told you about the terms of his promise, the Ten Commandments which he commanded you to do. Then he wrote them on two stone tablets. The Lord also commanded me to teach you the laws and rules you must obey after you cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land. You didn't see the Lord the day he spoke to you from the fire at Mount Horeb. So be very careful that you don't become corrupt and make your own carved idols. Don't make statues that represent men or women, any animal on earth, any creature with wings that flies, any creature that crawls on the ground, or any fish in the water. Don't let yourselves be tempted to worship and serve what you see in the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, or anything else. The Lord your God has given them to all people everywhere. But you are the people the Lord brought out of Egypt, the iron smelter, in order to make you his own people, as you still are today. The Lord was angry with me because of you. So the Lord your God took an oath that I wouldn't cross the Jordan River and enter the good land he is giving you as your property. I'm going to die in this land and not cross the Jordan River. But you're going to go across and take possession of that good land. Be careful that you don't forget the promise that the Lord your God made to you. Don't make your own carved idols or statues that represent anything the Lord your God has forbidden. The Lord your God is a raging fire, a God who does not tolerate rivals. Even when you have children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land, don't become corrupt and make carved idols or statues that represent anything. I call heaven and earth as witness against you today. If you do this thing that the Lord your God considers evil, making him furious, you will quickly disappear from the land you're going to possess on the other side of the Jordan River. You won't live very long there. You'll be completely wiped out. The Lord will scatter you among the people of the world, and only a few of you will be left among the nations where the Lord will force you to live. There you will worship wooden and stone gods made by human hands. These gods can't see, hear, eat, or smell. But if you look for the Lord your God when you are among those nations, you will find him whenever you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you're in distress and all these things happen to you, then you will finally come back to the Lord your God and obey him. The Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you, destroy you, or forget the promise to your ancestors that he swore he would keep. Search the distant past, long before your time. Start from the very day God created people on earth. Search from one end of heaven to the other. Has anything as great as this ever happened before, or has anything like it ever been heard of? Have any other people ever heard God speak from a fire and lived? You did. Or has any God ever tried to come and take one nation away from another for himself? The Lord your God used his mighty hand and powerful arm to do this for you in Egypt. He did this using plagues, miraculous signs, amazing things, and war. He did his great and awe-inspiring deeds in front of you. You were shown these things so that you would know that the Lord is God. There is no other God. He let you hear his voice from heaven so that he could instruct you. He showed you his great fire on earth, and you heard him speak from the column of fire. Because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants, he was with you as he brought you out of Egypt by his great power. He forced nations greater and stronger than you out of your way to bring you into their land and give it to you. This land is your own possession today. Remember today, and never forget that the Lord is God in heaven above and here on earth. There is no other God. Obey his laws and commands which I'm giving you today. Then things will go well for you and your descendants. You will live for a long time in the land. The Lord your God is giving you the land for as long as you live. Then Moses set aside three cities on the east side of the Jordan River. Those who unintentionally killed someone whom they had never hated could flee to one of these cities and save their lives. The cities were Bezer on the desert plateau for the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead for the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan for the tribe of Manasseh. This is what Moses taught the people of Israel. These are the commandments, laws, and rules Moses gave the Israelites after they had left Egypt. He gave these to the people when they were east of the Jordan River in the valley near Beth Peor, in the land of King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon. Moses and Israel defeated him after they left Egypt. They took possession of his land and the land of King Og of Bashan, the two kings of the Amorites who were east of the Jordan River. This land went from Arior on the edge of the Arnon Valley to Mount Sihon, that is, Mount Hermon. It included all the plains on the east side of the Jordan River, as far as the Dead Sea, at the foot of the slopes of Mount Pisgah. Luke 6:39-7:10. Jesus also gave them this illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't both fall into the same pit? A student is no better than his teacher, but everyone who is well trained will be like his teacher. Why do you see the piece of sawdust in another believer's eye and not notice the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to another believer, "Friend, let me take the piece of sawdust out of your eye," when you don't see the beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, remove the beam from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. A good tree doesn't produce rotten fruit, and a rotten tree doesn't produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. You don't pick figs from thorny plants or grapes from a thorn bush. Good people do the good that is in them, but evil people do the evil that is in them. The things people say come from inside them. Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I tell you? I will show you what everyone who comes to me, hears what I say, and obeys it, is like. He is like a person who dug down to bedrock to lay the foundation of his home. When a flood came, the flood waters pushed against that house, but the house couldn't be washed away because it had a good foundation. The person who hears what I say, but doesn't obey it, is like someone who built a house on the ground without any foundation. The floodwaters pushed against it, and that house quickly collapsed and was destroyed. When Jesus had finished everything he wanted to say to the people, he went to Capernaum. There, a Roman army officer's valuable slave was sick and near death. The officer had heard about Jesus and sent some Jewish leaders to him. They were to ask Jesus to come and save the servant's life. They came to Jesus and begged, "He deserves your help. He loves our people and built our synagogue at his own expense." Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the officer sent friends to tell Jesus, "Sir, don't bother. I don't deserve to have you come into my house. That's why I didn't come to you. But just give a command and let my servant be cured. As you know, I'm in a chain of command and have soldiers at my command. I tell one of them, 'Go,' and he goes, and another, 'Come,' and he comes. I tell my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Jesus was amazed at the officer when he heard these words. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I can guarantee that I haven't found faith as great as this in Israel." When the men who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant healthy again. Psalm 68, 1 through 18. For the choir director, a psalm by David, a song. God will arise, his enemies will be scattered, those who hate him will flee from him, blow them away like smoke. Let wicked people melt in God's presence like wax next to a fire. But let righteous people rejoice. Let them celebrate in God's presence. Let them overflow with joy. Sing to God. Make music to praise his name. Make a highway for him to ride through the deserts. The Lord is his name. Celebrate in his presence. The God who is in his holy dwelling place is the father of the fatherless and the defender of widows. God places lonely people in families. He leads prisoners out of prison into productive lives, but rebellious people must live in an unproductive land. O God, when you went in front of your people, when you marched through the desert, Selah. The earth quaked and the sky poured. In the presence of the God of Sinai, in the presence of the God of Israel, you watered the land with plenty of rain, O God. You refreshed it when your land was exhausted. Your flock settled there. Out of your goodness, O God, you provided for oppressed people. The Lord gives instructions. The women who announce the good news are a large army. They say, "The kings of the armies flee. They run away. The women who remained at home will divide the goods. Though you stayed among the sheep pens, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, its feathers with yellow gold." Meanwhile, the Almighty was still scattering kings there, like snow falling on Mount Zalmon. The mountain of Bashan is the mountain of God. The mountain of Bashan is the mountain with many peaks. Why do you look with envy, you mountains with many peaks, at the mountain where God is chosen to live? Certainly, the Lord will live there forever. The chariots of God are 20,000 in number, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. The God of Sinai is in his holy place. You went to the highest place. You took prisoners captive. You received gifts from people, even from rebellious people, so that the Lord God may live there. Proverbs 11:28. Whoever trusts his riches will fall, but righteous people will flourish like a green leaf. All right, so in the Gospel of Luke, in today's reading, we kind of finished the thought that Jesus had been talking about yesterday, and we talked about it yesterday because Jesus is talking about judgment, our behavior, and our judgments against and toward one another. And what we talked about yesterday is what Jesus said. The standard that we use to judge others is the standard that will be used to judge us, which can be a sobering thought, as it should be. And this idea of having an opinion and a judgment toward everyone, everywhere, yeah, this is somewhat a product of the cultures that we live in and the technologies that we use so that we can express our opinion about everything all of the time. But the ability to do that doesn't condone it or make it right. I mean, the idea in the Bible of sowing and reaping, in other words, what you plant is what's going to come up. You're going to harvest what you've planted. I mean, that's not just a spiritual principle. That's a principle of life on earth itself. If we plant roses, then roses come up, not corn. And so if we're planting judgment everywhere about everything toward everybody, well, that's what we're planting. And that's what's going to come up. There are so many important things in the scriptures that aim us in the direction of actual life as it was intended to be. But this one right here, this one's got to be up on the list in the world that we live in today, because we are judgmental people. And really, some of the most judgmental people are believers toward one another. When we get into these little skirmishes about what we believe and what we don't believe. And so we cast these judgments to the point that we'll say to another believer, "You'll burn in the pits of hell for this." When we don't have a say in any of that. And the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, told us not to do that. And so the conversation continues into today's reading, and I quote Jesus. Why do you see the piece of sawdust in another believer's eye and not notice the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to another believer, "Friend, let me take the piece of sawdust out of your eye," when you don't see the beam in your own eye? You hypocrites. First remove the beam from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. A good tree doesn't produce rotten fruit, and a rotten tree doesn't produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. You don't pick figs from thorny plants or grapes from a thorn bush. Good people do the good that is in them, but evil people do the evil that is in them. The things people say come from inside them. I'm not exactly sure what I could say that makes that any more clear than what Jesus said, other than to say it becomes much easier to stop judging others when we become fully acquainted and aware with how much we deserve God's judgment, and that He is withholding in mercy toward us. When we get a glimpse of that, when we get a glimpse of what we actually deserve, and we begin to realize we have no business heaping judgment on anybody, we don't deserve another breath. It's a gift. And if we receive this next breath as a gift, should we exhale in judgment toward our fellow brothers and sisters all around us? Or should we exhale gratitude and worship because we don't deserve anything? I'm tempted to say, like, if there's anything that we get out of the Bible, if we could get this one thing, it would change our lives. But there's so much richness for us about how to aim our hearts and how to posture our lives and how to live those lives. But I will say that this is an essential piece, becoming fully aware of what we deserve, and what we deserve is absolute complete separation from God forever. In His mercy, He has come for us. In His mercy, He has gathered us. How can we do anything different than mimic the Lord? Or to quote Jesus from our reading today, a student is no better than his teacher, but everyone who is well-trained will be like his teacher. In this regard, we have the example of our teacher and the instruction of our teacher on how this is supposed to look in our lives. And so, teacher, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. This is different for each one of us. All of us have different kinds of stories. All of us are carrying around scars from deep wounds that have happened to us. Some things were unjust and some things we deserve, but they are our story. And so how to live into this? How to let go and not judge everything around us, but to simply, with grace and kindness and mercy, understand that we are so very fortunate to even be here. This is a process. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us in that process, because this is truly a process that leads us into enormous amounts of freedom. Because our judgmentalism is very much attached to the way that we release and forgive, and these are essential pieces of this faith journey. There is no escaping it. And so we embrace it and ask your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And this we expect, and this we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home. Home base, home of the Global Campfire, as well as the Daily Audio Bible app. They are all connected to the same thing. So if you're using the web or the app, you can find things like the community section where the prayer wall lives, where different links to social media is. You can also find the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are categories of resources for this journey, the one that we're on, the one that takes us across a year and through the Bible together. And so check those resources out. Take the journey deeper. Take the journey wider. And of course, as always, if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Humbly, thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. But the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, I'm calling to say thank you to Soaring on Eagle's Wings from Canada. You called and prayed for me. I was driving from Oregon to California and called in about my mom, Kathy. That was on February 27th, and my call aired on the 3rd, and your prayer aired on the 9th. And I am so thankful and pleased to report that by the time I reached my destination, my mom was healed. Thank you for praying. Those of you that prayed quietly and those that called in, He was working that out before my call even aired. And how powerful and beautiful is the reminder that help is on the way before we ever pray. He's so good, and my mom's doing really beautifully. She has no brain damage. She is almost completely back to normal, and it's a miracle. He did a miracle, and he continues to do one as he continues to heal her and bless us with her presence every day. We didn't know if she was going to make it, and I had the most incredible, beautiful drive with the Lord, literally sitting in the passenger seat. I felt His presence the entire drive, and it was so meaningful to me knowing that you all were praying, even though you didn't know I had sent in a prayer yet. This community is really special to me, and I just wanted to let you all know that, and that I'm praying for you as well. The most amazing thing happened too when we changed the calendar from February to March. I put a name on every month, not knowing last year what I was doing it, and it was the Lord heals. How beautiful. Bye.
Daily Audio Bible. This is Rebecca from Michigan. It's March 19th, and I wanted to stop by and pray for all the single people because I heard a single person on here over 60. Who feels alone. So I'm 56 and I'm single. Sometimes I feel alone. Father God, I pray for all the single people, whether they're widowers, divorced, or never been married, or unwed mothers, or people with children that are single. I pray for a community for them. I know some of the churches think they're trying to do a meat market, but I pray that they won't think that way, but more a ministry and a community to connect to each other and get to know each other. I know one church had a line dancing for single people. I pray that they would find a way to reach out to the single people and make them feel like they're a part of the church and a community. And even if it's just a Bible study or something that we could do together, or go walking together, or go bike riding together, or do something special together so we can feel part of a community. And if we have children, that our children can be played together. I pray for every single person right now. And whether you're married, sometimes you feel alone too. So I pray for those married people who feel alone, because I've heard that happens. So if you're a married person and you feel alone sometimes, I pray that you feel like you're in a community and can reach out. And I pray for God to make you not feel alone, but feel...
Hey, this is Candace from Oregon, just checking in. March 11 was 5 years since my husband passed on to be with Jesus. And it was exceedingly difficult. It just, you just wouldn't believe the struggle. But of course, I've been married to him for 41 years, so it's just really been hard to lose him. And yet the memories are so, so good and so many. It was more than difficult for our son, Micah, who's an alcoholic and nearly lost his life over it. He's been struggling ever since a couple days before Christmas with really dangerous use of alcohol. But the reason is because he's trying to stop. So he had 2 weeks of not drinking at all. And that's when it becomes really dangerous if you go back in and drink at the same level. And this happens to many, many, many alcoholics who try to stop. So thank you, Lord, that Micah wants to stop doing this entirely. Help him to understand that he needs you, and that he can't do this on his own, and to get the help that he needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. This is Sally, Amazed by Grace in Massachusetts, or from Massachusetts. I'm calling to pray for Alicia, who called in to pray for another sister who's having anxiety. Alicia is pregnant, 32 weeks, and has already a child 3 and twins. Alicia, when I was pregnant with my fourth child, I also had forebodings about the fact that I was going to die when this child was born. I don't know where that came from. But I want you to know that child is 42 and I'm in my 70s. And God did give me the grace to get over that fear. Bless you and guide you and give you grace as you trust in Him.
Hello, Dab family. This is Vonnie in Northern California. I just heard Michael call in asking for a prayer for his brother. Michael, I remember praying along with the community for your sweet mom. I just want you to know she'd be so proud of you right now. Your faith is strong, and you know that prayer makes a difference, especially when we band together, lifting one another up. I'm praying for you and your brother, and I'll be praying for your cousin, who's overwhelmed with responsibilities right now. May the Lord give added support to all of you, and I pray you'll see a change in your brother's behavior. Secondly, I wanted to reach out to Grace, who called in about the bullies. I'm so glad to hear others lifting you up, Grace. When I first heard your cry for prayer, my heart broke for you. Years ago, I had a bully at work, and my dear, wise mother told me to begin praying for this bully. And she and I committed together to pray that God would work in her heart, and God answered. We're all praying for you, Grace, that God will comfort and strengthen you, and that you'll see some amazing changes as you pray for these people too. The Lord bless you.